This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair. 9 years ago, Ann Arbor City Council set a goal of 5,000 solar roofs in the city by the year 2015. With the dawning of 2015 upon us, the actual count is in the hundreds, not the thousands. Ypsilanti aspires to have 1,000 solar rooftops by the year 2020. It, too, has a long way to go. In this segment of WEMU's The Green Room, Barbara Lucas looks at the factors that might help spur more local folks to go solar.
We stand atop the roof of the Ecology Center building in downtown Ann Arbor. David Wright is a member of the Ann Arbor Energy Commission, and today he's volunteering, helping install a new solar energy collection system. We're surrounded by a sea of flat, sunny rooftops.
What do you think about the potential as you look around? How many of these buildings do you think could have it?
Well, I guess as we look towards state here, pretty much everything down the block here.
So much sun, so few panels. But apparently, cost can be a stumbling block.
I wonder why they didn't put more here. They've got a lot of space.
We do have space here. The panels were donated, so we had what we had. I know the Ecology Center would like to see more.
An aerial analysis shows that at least 18,000 roofs in Ann Arbor are good candidates for solar. But not everyone has enough sun or money to install the panels. Wright tells me about an arrangement that might help those who don't.
The Public Service Commission is looking at developing community solar projects where you would have an array at a central location and individual community members could purchase anywhere from one panel to 10 panels or more if they desired, and they would get that credited to their bill.
Wright says so far there's only one community solar program in the state, and it's in Traverse City. In the meantime, there are some in the area who have taken the solar plunge on their own roofs. Ecology Center employee Tracy Easthope and her spouse John DeHoog among them. They're thrilled that their solar system generates enough energy on a yearly average to fully cover their electricity bill. We go outside to check out their meter. When DeHoog goes back in to turn off the kitchen lights, sure enough, a negative sign appears on the meter.
It went negative.
Went negative?
Yeah.
Excellent.
We're sending power back to DTE right now.
And it's reading all the time, so you're getting constant measures of what's happening, so that's satisfying.
That takes care of the electric, but still only amounts to half their home's carbon footprint. Why not put up more solar panels? It turns out state law prevents you from selling back more electricity than you use. State Representative Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor hopes to remove that disincentive.
Recently, I introduced a bill we call the Fair Value Pricing Bill, that will ensure that residents who generate more electricity than they use are paid a fair price, a fair market-based price, by the utilities for that extra energy.
The proposal is part of the Energy Freedom Package, which has bipartisan sponsorship. The 53rd District Democrat says the freedom to generate your own power has wide appeal.
And it's also about rights. You know, right now we have a heavily regulated monopoly system whereby, you know, the utilities have, you know, a captive customer base. You know, it certainly is contrary to the political ideology of a lot of the conservatives in Lansing who really cling very closely to market-based approaches.
Irwin contends we shouldn't have to jump through hoops to do the right thing. Challenges and options are discussed on a solar tour sponsored by Michigan Interfaith Power and Light. First stop is the Unitarian Universalist Church of Ann Arbor, whose solar panels were installed by Dave Friedrichs.
It's because there is federal tax, IRS, legislatively endorsed proposal since 2008 for 30% credit back for any investment in solar.
Sounds great, but he says the 30% federal incentive is available only through 2016. And although homeowners and businesses qualify, churches don't.
You're not going to get a tax credit at a 501c3.
The next stop is the First Presbyterian Church in Saline, where we sit in their chapel adorned with newly installed stained glass windows. Kurt Leutheiser says when asking for donations, they won over skeptical congregants by telling them,
"You don't have to participate. This may not be your thing. You might have been interested in the stained glass and want to sit this one out. That's okay."
He acknowledges that their system's 15-year payback bothers some, but not all. Peter Beauvais asks,
What's this got to do with Jesus? God really wants us to be really tending and caring for the planet in a very responsible, caring way. And here we are busy at points destroying it, destroying the basis of life. And we can say this is a small little piece of tending to the garden, to creation.
The sentiment extends beyond church walls. East Hope and DeHoog also are undaunted by the payback period.
At this point, I think, given what we know about global warming, I feel like we just need to do whatever we possibly can. It's an investment that feels so good. I mean, you really feel happy about what you did. That's not true of a lot of investments that we make.
East Hope says to truly get solar efforts moving, public policy has to change.
To make doing the right thing easy and doing the wrong thing harder.
That concept is embraced by the Citizens Climate Lobby. It advocates a carbon fee placed at the point of fossil fuel extraction that in turn would make carbon-intensive products and lifestyles more expensive.
Alexandria.
6 members of the Ann Arbor chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby are seated in a circle listening to a monthly group call, along with thousands of others from the hundreds of chapters nationwide.
So welcome everybody, this is Mark.
Lewis Merlin is among the participants.
So if you put an extra cost onto oil and coal and natural gas, all of those things become more expensive, and so solar becomes relatively more competitive.
He believes money spent on droughts, rising sea levels, and severe storms caused by climate change should be figured into the costs of fossil fuels.
I guess I see it as a way of making the costs from hidden to visible. I mean, what makes more sense than you clean up the mess that you made? I mean, that's what I teach my kids, right?
Merlin contends a carbon fee would spur energy conservation and research into renewables and would take the place of solar tax incentives.
Getting the prices right creates that built-in incentive for not just businesses, but for inventors, for engineers to make new products, to take advantage of this opportunity.
How would the plan affect household budgets? Mark Reynolds, executive director of the National Citizens Climate Lobby, says their proposal is called revenue neutral because
we want to take every single dollar and send it back to American households. Two-thirds of households actually come out even or better off. So which two-thirds of households would that be? Anybody with a moderate carbon footprint.
Regardless of the future of a carbon tax, East Hope and DeHoog say that with the current 30% solar tax credit, the electricity produced can cover monthly loan payments.
It's amazing to me. Once we did this, we started looking around and we thought, what is going on?
Right.
What is going on? Why doesn't everyone have these? You know,
that's how we look at houses now.
Like, oh my gosh.
They might be able to do solar.
They would have great solar.
They hope the word gets out that at least one form of payback is immediate and long-lasting.
And like the excitement hasn't worn off for us either. We're still excited about having
every
it.
Every time and I pull in the driveway, I'm so proud of our solar systems.
Yeah.
Barbara Lucas, 89.1 WEMU News.
The Green Room is a presentation of the WEMU News Department and is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. The Green Room is heard on the last Friday of each month as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.